Hello and welcome to the Superhero You with me, Andrew Gray, where we highlight heroes. I guarantee that it's going to be raw, it's going to be real, and it's going to allow you to be inspired, where you are going to leave with electricity coming out of your fingertips. I got my co-host here, my dear friend, Stephen Turley. Say what's up, Stephen.
What's up, everybody? How are you doing?
Everybody's doing spectacular, and so are we. And today on the Superhero You, well, first of all, we need to do a little backtrack. Last episode, we had the world famous hero in my eyes, in our book, the Brian Hall, and he shared his incredible journey with us that was very, very impactful. I mean, I learned some new things about my mentor, and I said, what better yet than to start the Superhero You premiere episode with somebody who I've always seen as a hero in my life and who's allowed me to be the person I am today and mentor so many other people, including my co-host and dear friend here, Stephen. And we were talking and saying, man, we should probably do the next episode as our hero's journey, as our story, so that everybody gets to know us as well as we know each other. And here we are right now. So who's going to start?
If you want, I'll start first. We got to get it out there. So, you know, we go through the story time.
Yeah, flip a coin. We'll just let fate decide on this one. Like, call it heads or tails.
Tails.
All right, tails it is, my man. Tails it is. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. So the hero's journey, it goes in three different stages. And there's five parts in the first stage. There's four parts in the second stage and three parts in the third stage. I mean, it's really easy as that. So the first question I'm going to ask you is, what was your ordinary world like growing up? What was that thing that really sparked you to have that call to adventure in your life, to really kind of move it forward? Where were you? Who were you?
Oh, man. So that's a lot. But call to adventure, man. Before the call to adventure, man, I was out from high school. I never graduated, never got no diploma, no GED equivalent. I was a pill popper back then. I mean, I went through that whole phase, you know, rebel, teenager, angsty. But I was 18. I was married. And at that time, which mom was going through cancer, and I shut down hard, and I pushed everybody away, even my wife at the time, divorced, and we were at the courthouse, and I remember it, and I still use it to this day. It's my reminder, but I told her at the courthouse minutes before we signed the papers that I would be that person that I was, that she fell in love with, that I would find a way to get back to that person. I went through a very, very dark hole. After that, I slipped, I fell, and I just tumbled every rock, every boulder, all the way to the bottom. And I stayed there for quite a while. It was a few years that I stayed there.
What was that pivotal point where you're like, you know what? I'm at the bottom. I'm at the bottom and I'm suffering. And you just chose, obviously, because you're here and you're shining and you're bright and you're beautiful, not to waste your suffering. What was that thing that got you out of that? How'd you pull yourself out? Bring that call to adventure.
So about 2014, so it's like I said, it was a few years from going to that pivotal point. About 2014, I was on Instagram, scrolling through, just had that, you know, that platform going, and I followed one of my idols, one of my like, he ended up being a mentor without being a mentor in a sense, but he was a mentor to more than thousands. But I followed Jason David Frank, the original Green Mighty Morphin Power Ranger. I followed him.
Rest in.
And within months, he was doing this really cool thing where he was calling it the JDF Ambassador Program, or Team JDF. Which is tattooed right here, always will be. But he went through state by state, and he was picking random people. You just had to comment on the post, and I was like, why not? Why not give it a shot? So I waited until Nevada hit. Nevada, he makes his post. Hey, looking for people from all over Nevada. It didn't matter where you're from. You didn't have to be Reno or Vegas, or you didn't have to be anybody. You could be a nobody in the sense. He was just people who were dedicated. So I went, I posted, commented, and I woke up one morning and my Instagram notifications was liked comments, JDF liked this, JDF liked that, JDF followed you. And I was like,
Okay. Hold on one second, Steven. Hold on one second, because I didn't know this, bro. Like, okay, let's just... Steven and I have known each other for over 10 years. He's a brother to me. He's family. And that's why we decided... I see him as a hero. I've always seen him as a hero. But this is when we met in 2015. I did not know it was through JDF until right now, bro. And he's a huge follower of the Heavenly Father. He said Jesus never tapped on his forearm. We had Brian Hall on the first episode. This is like peanut butter and jelly. Continue. Sorry.
Okay. No, you're good, bro. You're good. So, yeah. So, woke up that morning, came one of his ambassadors. Everything just changed. I actually had a reason to be like, I can do this. Like, this is awesome. This is like the best news I've had in like 6 years. Like, I'm a nobody, dude. I'm a nobody. I'm in a dark spot. JDF, the original Green Mighty Morphin Power Ranger, followed me, became one of his ambassadors. And honestly, I learned a lot from that dude. His videos, I'm telling you, man. The way he looked at life.
JDF was more than just a martial artist. And he was more than just a great community leader. He was a leader in everything that he did.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
He brought the energy. Absolutely, 100%.
And so, yeah, like, from him. And that right there, that opened up a doorway. Doors that are still constantly opening. I feel it's because of him, because of what I was taught. What I learned from him, because from that point, it was the booking agency that I interned for, which is what introduced you and I. I did that for a while, the connections I met, and I just kept going with it, and doors and doors and doors, and there's still doors to this day. So I still, to this day, thank JDF, but I also go back further to that person at the courthouse that made that commitment. I'm going to be that person for her.
Yeah.
I'm going to be that person that she fell in love with, her best friend, the one that was like, you know what? I'm not letting this bug me anymore.
Yeah.
And the one that's going to love her. And which is really cool that we are now going on 7 years. We have been back together. We have been together for that.
Oh, wait, don't share all the goodies just right now. So I want to, we're still in the first five different steps. We talked about the ordinary world, the world, the call to adventure. And he was talking about mentorship, but there's this little gap in between that's called the refusal to the call. Now, even when you had a mentor, did you have any kind of refusal to the call? Like, am I enough for this? And, you know, were you still dealing with any kind of addiction? Were you dealing with any kind of anxiety or depression at that time? Or did you just decide, yes, I am, and I'm just going to still move forward? Tell us a little bit about that.
No, absolutely.
It's a very relatable story. Sorry, I cut you off. Very relatable story.
Yeah, no, you're good. I absolutely, thousands of times. It felt like a thousand. There's not a day or there wasn't a time where I felt like I wasn't good enough. I mean, there was times where I'm handed this, or I'm lucky enough to have this travel, work with you, work with these other actors that I grew up that are now friends, family. But there was moments where I'm like, I don't deserve this. Why do I have that? Like, I'm not good enough for this. There was times where I'd call my mom late at night. And be like, what do I do? Why do I continue? Like, this is killing me because it's either financially hard or it's just emotionally hard because I'm working a full-time job. I'm doing this on the side and I'm traveling and I'm doing this, but I don't feel like I deserve it. And yeah, so there was quite a few times, and you know,
And let me know if I'm wrong or not, man. You know, we're just having this one-on-one conversation. Is that it's that kind of like an imposter syndrome?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that? Yeah,
that's probably the most accurate way of putting it. Is it's almost like an out-of-body experience where I'm looking at myself through someone else's eyes and I'm seeing this life. I see the life that I live in. I've seen the life that I went through. I saw who I was as a kid, as a teenager, as a young adult. And I'm, you know, I sit there and I look at it and I'm like, who are you? You don't, you know, like, I don't deserve to be in those shoes. Like, I'm not this person. And yeah, no, it's definitely an imposter syndrome.
And that's what I wanted to share to the audience, is that seeking a mentor is vital. Even if it's just reading a book of somebody that you admire, right? Listening to a podcast, taking a course, you know, it's so vital that we do that or have something that we're looking up to that it's going to allow us to scale that to ascend. Now, I'm sure on your journey, and if you, after you were traveling with people that you've been admiring, I'm sure then you, you know, were getting ready to cross that threshold. But in that, in the midst of that, I'm sure relationships, friends, what were you tested in any way? Right. That's the next one where people are like, man, you're changed, man. You're different. Or who are you? How do we recognize you? Or just gaslighting you up?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like once I decided to like accept that this is the life that I have right now, and I didn't know where it was going, but I took it, ran with it head first. And I had a lot of friends that were really close from high school and longer, but they were going a certain way. And I was trying to help them with what I was learning through JDF, because what JDF had taught me, what he had taught thousands, I was like, dude, think of it this way. But I had people that were holding me down, man. Oh, I just, like, they were depressed. Their energy kept sucking me out to the point where, like, every time I was around them, I just felt like, oh, I just want to drink, or I just want to pop pills, or, which, you know, that was bringing out an older version of me who did like doing that. That enjoy
those energy vampires, right? That they just want you to be on the level, and they just drain you, and then you're just like, all right, well, I guess I'll go all the way back to my ordinary world then, because it's more comfortable with you guys there, and you guys don't pressure it. Man,
absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I had people that were like, "Oh, I'm so jealous. You live this life. You're traveling. You're working with people, you know, that you grew up watching, and some of them were big names, some of them weren't as big named, but, and then people just holding me down, like, oh, dude, you want to go drink? You want to go do this? You want to go do that? And I'm like, dude, it's like 10 o'clock at night, man. I got to work. I got other stuff to do. Like, I'm sitting there doing all this other thing, like vampires.
Yeah.
Dude, and I had to lose a lot of those friendships. It was one of the hardest. In the beginning, it was really hard, because some of those friendships, they were like family. They were more blood than blood. And I had to make that decision. Do I deal with it while trying to balance and go where I'm going? Or do I cut that tie and let them sink or swim themselves?
And that's so real. You had to choose yourself.
100%. And that was a hard one too. Am I being selfish? You know, yet again, imposter syndrome mixed with a little bit of selfishness. And was I being selfish? Like, I'm this friendship of 10 years, all these memories we have, or the life that I'm starting now. What is more important? That negativity with it, with that friend, or the positive that I'm getting from this, you know, from going forward and going up? And it was hard in the beginning, and it doesn't really get easier. It doesn't.
But you know what? You start to get to know yourself a little bit better, and I guess that helps put better boundaries down, right? So it's less about them understanding your journey where you're at. You understand where your journey is, and hopefully, just hopefully for the people you love, I'm sure. I mean, I think about this too. Hopefully it can influence them to continue to move past those things, to get in different stages of their lives, right? We're in different chapters. We're all in different journeys, a spiritual journey, a physical journey, nutritional journey, financial career, all these different journeys. But, you know, it sounds like when you're on your way to, this is stage 7 in the hero's journey, after tests and allies is approaching your innermost cave, you know, you have to shed the weight. You have to shed the weight of those chains that we revere that are just shackling us to, I guess, our ordinary world, right? And who we grew up with, or those kind of things. So at the end of the day, your ordeal was, let me ask you, is if you didn't continue to move forward, what was going to happen in your life, do you think?
I would have went back.
And are you willing to settle for that?
I would have totally gone back. I feel the pill popping, the drinking, the partying, the not amounting to my potential that is still growing. And I couldn't let that be what I did. Like, I couldn't just accept that and accept defeat. So there's still days. There are days, man, and mom has been one of the biggest supporters and one of the biggest people to help me, because that lady who has gone through her own battles, I have texted her. It didn't matter if there was tears in my face. It didn't matter if it was 2 o'clock in the morning waking her up. It didn't matter what it was. If I was feeling that almost like that path of pulling me in, going back to the old me. I'd call her up and I could feel it, and I'd pull back and pull and call her and be like, hey. And she's like, there was one time I called her about it. You know, do I quit? Do I give up? And she was like, you've gotten this far. Keep going. And I was like,
yes,
yes, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Let's go. And so I freaking got myself, pushed myself back up, dusted off, and I just kept going. And there's still days like that, but you know, it's easy with that support system for sure.
That's like the most practical advice you can give to anybody. Keep going.
Keep going.
Keep going. But go where? Just keep going. But go where? Just keep going. On the Superhero U social media, Steven and I released this visual reminders things that we were doing, and probably going to turn them into calendars or some affirmation cards. Who knows? But it was this really cool arrow that was just like, bink. That's progress. That's progress, right? So as long as we keep going, we're making progress in our lives and we're understanding what's around us, I'm sure. But what I'm getting from this, and then this is getting right next to my favorite question that we love to ask people because it really just lights up their soul. One second. But that you sandwich two different things. You ask your elder for advice, and they gave you some good advice, which is wisdom. Most people don't ask, seek, and knock, right? They do it themselves, which you did as well, and you learn from it. So you use the wisdom smart sandwich. And this is what leads on to the question is, what was your reward that you were aiming towards in that moment? What was your reward that allowed you to go on to the third and final stage? What was that focus?
You know, the people that I've been able to help, people, the you, working as your handler in the beginning and just having that connection, but being able to help and just know that, hey, if you guys needed anything from anywhere in the world, you could hit me up and be like, hey, could you help me out with ABC? I think that was really it. It was growing up and wanting to meet your heroes is an amazing thing. Power Rangers, Ninja Turtles, Spider-Man, whoever they are, you know, it's awesome. But having that connection, that friendship and that bond, I think that is like the greatest thing ever to have that more than anything. Though it's real. Like, I know you on a personal level that most people will never get to know, because to most people, you're going to be Troy Burrows, the Red Megaforce Ranger. But we have a different connection. And I think the fact that we get to help each other grow and learn from each other and the other people that I've met, that's probably the most gratifying thing ever. It's still surreal, but it's a gratifying feeling knowing that I can help you, you can help me, and we're growing together.
I appreciate it. Love you, brother. It's mutual. You know, I get to know you better every single day because we ask each other these questions. You know, we don't assume, we just ask questions. And if we ever differ, we put respect and understanding first on the table because we're together in this and we are going to cover ground. And I just appreciate that, man. And thank you for sharing that reward. So now after the reward, you start making your way back home. Tell me about the relationships in your life that you were able to reconnect with, build bridges to on that making your way back home. And what's your aims now for the future? With those relationships. I'm starting with self, right?
Yeah, I mean, I still had issues with even coming back. The return, I still had issues with myself. Still dealing with that imposter, feeling not good enough and being selfish. But my best friend, bestest best friend since junior high, who also was my wife and ex-wife, we ended up reconnecting. I got three stepkids out of that whole ordeal. And that right there changed. That's a whole, when you have kids looking up to you as the hero, that is a whole different feeling. That's not even a me being my own hero to me. It is these little kids are looking at me and I'm like, I'm not a hero to you. I can't be like, you know, I don't tell them that, but I can't be that hero. Do you know what I have gone through? Do you know what I have gone through to get where I'm at now? But I'm like, wait a minute. Teach them how to keep going and fight for what you want. But greatest freaking thing ever. And this relationship's been going on for going on 7 years now between me and my now fiance. The oldest stepson, oldest stepson lives with his dad, but I got my two. I got Eva and Tyler. Tyler's the youngest. Kid is cool. And I've a lot of new connections, man. And I keep growing with what I've learned in the booking agency realm, my passion for music, because I love rock music. I'm always going to be a rocker, and working for the radio station that I work for as a DJ, a lot of new connections, more so with a lot of the newer bands, but older bands that I've been friends with for, about 10 years, give or take. And it's really cool growing with them, learning, meeting new people. And I don't know, really, what the future is going to hold, because I take it almost like a day by day. I know where I would like to be. I know where I would like to go, and I know what I would like to try to see if it's that right door for me, because there's constant doors always opening, and there has been for me. And I've seen them since JDF. Since that door opened with JDF and the ambassador program, I started seeing the doors and I started running head first. I didn't care where they went. I was just like, I'm taking that door and I'm going head first. So
let me just share this with you real quick. Doors are opening for Steven for many different reasons. And I truly do believe, because the way that he exits, the ways he enters the next thing, and he is a positive, upbeat, proactive person. And that is rare to find just in general. He's so genuine and kind that, again, real is rare and fake is everywhere, right? Rare and fake is everywhere. So you're like, is this guy for real? Is he trying to get me? This can't be. And I wish I could relate to that. I'm just kidding. But, you're just an awesome dude, bro. And wherever you're going to go, you're going to be healthy. You're going to be successful in whatever that means to you. And everything around you is going to continue to grow, because you're growing and you don't waste your suffering. That's what I got from this message. You did not waste your suffering in this. You were able to transform it instead of transmit it. I think that's what Brian said in the last episode. Right? And that was a powerful episode as well. That really hit me. So you made your way back. Your resurrection now is when anybody comes at you, this is what I got, any way, shape, or form, you're going to take it as a grain of salt. You're going to be walking on water, and above all, soaring above it, because you have focus, you have vision of positive future. Is that a good recap?
That sounds like a great recap, man.
Horrible.
No, that's good, man. That was great. I mean, I definitely this journey know what my worth is, so.
Well, on this, the very last stage, which is 12, this is Return with Elixir. This is when you can share some of your insights with the world. And I'm going to ask you just a couple quick fire off questions, because these are fun. I was preparing this earlier today and I was like, man, what's a good question? Okay. What does commitment mean to you? You can be in one word. It can be in a paragraph, but we only have so much time. Just kidding. Go for it.
Commitment means to me, the first thing that I guess it's one word, two words, whatever. Self-love.
Love that. Okay. What happens if you don't have self-love?
You go back to the negative, like the old me. Like, I feel like without that self-love, I'd go back to the old me that was down in that dark tunnel.
Would you say you were lost in that tunnel?
100%.
If you could go back to yourself to be your own mentor, when you had your refusals to the call, then what would you say?
Ooh, dang. Ooh. I don't know if it's like cliche, but better. Keep fighting. It gets better. So far, it has gotten better because of that self-love. And if I would have known that, forever, but I had to go through what I did. But yeah, it gets better, man. It really does.
Okay. I love that. It does get better. You guys, anybody who's listening, Steven, take it from there. How does it get better? When does it get better? Where does it get better? Tell me, give us a little more and context to that.
I'm a big believer of the energy you put out, you receive. And I'm not talking, going into a lot of like the religious aspect. I just believe in just great karma, good karma. But that energy that you put out, if you believe that you're worth something and you believe you can grab it, you can touch it, and you can make it whatever you want, I believe that's going to come back. You know, speak it into existence and it will happen. And I haven't, even with a little bit of self-doubt, there's going to be self-doubt, but the connections I've met, the things that I've gotten to do in such a young time, or a short period of time, but in my young age still, that, you know, going from what I did to now and the doors that are still constantly opening, the things that I, you know, the things I get to see and do and share with my friends and family, the things we get to build. I never thought I was going to do a podcast with the Red Super Mega Forest Ranger, who is like a brother to me, you know, but the music
and vice
world
versa.
And right. Vice versa. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just been, it's really cool. Cool things. And watching the kids grow, I don't think if I would have never kept that promise in that courthouse and I would have bettered myself and got back to who I was, I wouldn't have these kids. So, you know, I don't, and those kids, they mean a lot to me, man. I mean, I love them. I love them, and I love watching them grow.
Big shout out. Real quick, brother, I think what you're also doing, and maybe I'm wrong, but I we're always on the same page. Just big shout out to all the stepfathers out there. You guys are heroes. You guys truly are. And, you know, I have a stepfather, and his name's Craig Foster. Call him Gregory. Not to make this any more about me, but it's just like, if I could be half the man that he is, and I'm sure that these kids, when they look up to you, they're going to get to that age, if they aren't already, man, I'm about to cry, and just be like, I just want to be, you know, half as good as him, and I'm going to be good in this world, because I saw how he treated my mother, I saw how he treated us, and how he treated himself, and everybody else around him, that energy. So anyway, shout out to the stepfathers.
Absolutely. Got to shout out my stepfather too, because he taught me a lot too. So,
boom.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
Last question. Oh, continue. Well, bless you.
I think we're good. So go ahead with that last question.
Last question is, what does a hero mean to you?
Refute us that one last. A superhero you podcast without asking who a superhero is to you. Spider-Man? I'm just kidding. I mean, I love Spider-Man, but someone who knows their worth, someone who knows the good, that's willing to do whatever it takes to get to where they want within reason. Don't be a Lex Luthor. You know, go a little comic on that one, a little nerdy on that one. Don't be a Lex Luthor. Lex Luthor is one of my favorites. I love Superman, but don't be a Lex Luthor. Just do it for the right reasons. And, you know, definitely just keep pushing. Don't let people tell you that you aren't good enough. You can't do it. You suck. And I mean, let them say it, but wipe it off, back up, and keep going.
Bam. All right, bro. I think it's time to flip the script here.
Yeah.
Flip the script. And if you need to bring up the hero's journey in front of you, or if you don't have it already, you know, I can just kind of go into mine a little bit. But what's up?
No, let's start with yours. I mean, we know now. Okay. I mean, you've mentioned you're the super, you know, you play Troy Burrows, you've done modeling, but let's go back. Where did it start?
Yeah. Before we go all the way to start, I'm just going to say what I struggled with. A lot of my adult life, I've been an alcohol abuser. I've abused marijuana. I introduced myself to porn at a young age. And it was at a point where I couldn't go one day without watching it multiple times a day. It was kind of like set the alarm, get the dopamine hit. And then I also put myself in a position to be surrounded by a lot of addicts, homeless people who were just sick in the head. I used to hang out by the river all the time, and I would steal alcohol, still 40s, and just drink those till I'd black out, and I would go skimboarding all day and have bonfires all night. I would have unprotected sex with a lot of different women that I don't know their names. I started selling weed and growing weed. Those are things that I did until when I was 18 years old, I got checked and I went to jail for vandalism and battery. And I got out of jail, and I remember that where I was living at the time and who I was with pressed charges on me, And I woke up in jail in my boxers because I blacked out.
Yeah. Like,
and I was in San Diego downtown. I have no idea how I got there. Okay. But I woke up on the ground floor like a werewolf freezing, like, where am I? No clothes. And then they're like, yeah, you're going to be here for 3 or 4 days. I'm like, what do you mean? How did I get here? Who did this? They're like, you did this to yourself. Door shut. And I remember just being in there for a couple of days, and I got checked in there as well. There was this giant, when I say giant, I was only 18, 19, but he was 6'4", white supremacist dude with a shaved head and tats all over his face and his neck with lightning bolts and weird stuff. And he was came right up to me. And I was like, uh-oh. And he said, you look like my cousin. Just stay in your bunk the whole time. It's Thursday. They're going to let you out Monday. Because I got in early in the morning. So anyway, I stayed in there. And I remember right when I got out, they let me out of my boxers. Had no money, no phone, no nothing. And I just walked around until I found an Aladdin bail bonds. Thank goodness that was the one I was supposed to be at. And I ended up going back to Sacramento with my tail between my legs. Now, that was a really eye-opening thing for me. Then I needed to get out of Sacramento. I needed to do something with my life. I always knew that I wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be funny like Jim Carrey, and I wanted to be the Red Power Ranger in life, to be honest with you. I just didn't know how to get there, and I didn't understand it was a business. It was entertainment, but it's show business. It's 2/3 business, 1 part show. Put those together, and there you go. I didn't know that. So what did I do? I just entered myself into a competition in New York, went out there, and I was able to... God blessed me with my looks. I didn't choose that. He blessed me with my looks. I used what I had. That was the advice my mother gave me to kind of start this journey and get out of from where I was at. Definitely in trepidation. But I wasn't a victim to it. I put myself in all those positions. I put myself in all those positions. So then when I was in New York, I won the competition. I won International Agent's Choice, was gifted the best agent for modeling and acting in the West Coast, repped by top tier agencies. I had no guidance, I had some preparation, but very, very little. And then I went to Los Angeles, and my whole world was flips upside down. When I was in Sacramento, I believed I was a predator, and I was also walking around untouchable because of the people who I hung out around, and even my family members. They were gang members or just affiliating themselves with the wrong crowd. But I came out a little bit different than my brother, my family. So they always see, they're like, hey, Corn Biscuit, we'll take care of you. Hey, you know, yeah. And I'm like, okay, you know, so okay. I just kind of walked around. What's that word? Imputable? No, I don't know. Untouchable. That's what I felt like. So I had a chip on my shoulder. I just won these huge awards. I just got signed with agents. Didn't have to seek. I just went out. I guess I just, you know, competition. So now I'm in LA. I'm not the predator anymore. I'm being hunted, you know, and by unbeknownst characters who prey on fresh faces or newbies or people who have naivety and who are young, right?
Right.
Now, this wasn't any... buddy's fault, but my own. I chose to go to a lot of these places underage into clubs. I chose to drink, and I went to LA first and foremost, not as much to pursue a craft. I went there for power. I went there for fame. I went there for attention. I went there unbeknownst to myself to fill that gargantuan void that I had that allowed me to be sensitive. I was beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, I was angry. I was frustrated. I was acting very self-centered and arrogant. But God is so good in my life, because as I kept moving forward, that's where my mentorship was. Now, remember how it goes, the ordinary world, the call to adventure. That call to adventure was LA. Well, what was my refusal of the call? My refusal of the call was getting drugged 3 times by agents. Not agents, sorry, by people in the industry, you know, directors, photographers, things like that. I put myself in those positions. I drank that alcohol. I'm not a victim to anything, but my refusal didn't happen. Why? The greenbacks. Lots of greenbacks at a young age. And I was just like, this happens to everybody, I guess. you know, whatever. I just, honestly, man, I was lost. Just like you're saying, I was freaking lost. And agents of management, they're not there to guide you anymore. Maybe some are. They weren't the one. They told me the rules to live by and how to be a professional. And they'd say, go out there and be safe. But they're not my mommy or daddy. You know, they won't. I didn't have that. And also, I was lying. I was lying to my parents, you know?
Oh, dang.
I was lying to them, not about the finance. I let them know about that, but I wasn't telling them the whole truth. So help me God. And anyway, I kept moving forward. And a lot of my friends at that time, they didn't say, hey, man, you've changed. They're like, dude, you have changed. You got women all over you. You are getting into the clubs of VIP. You're getting bottle service. Can we join? Can we come? So it literally flipped out from in Sacramento, where I was following everybody else with impunity and et cetera. Now I'm leading everybody into this darkness. And that got me to a place, bro, where I guess I just have to let it go. But, you know, this is a safe space. I feel like some of those people that I still let in darkness are still in that darkness. And I've been doing so much that I can to help them come out. But like you said, that's where another part of the test is, right? Is how do we get and force people to level up when they are not ready, willing and able, or wanting to go on that journey? They're not there yet. So then what do you, you said it yourself. I had to vibrate those people out of my life and just ask for forgiveness and operate in grace. And that's not an easy thing to do, especially when we're all fall short and we can get back into our vices. And from the grace of God in my life, what ended up happening was there was a paparazzi man named Rashid, beautiful man inside and out, pure heart. And he hit up my manager to say, and she said, okay, let's get into a meeting. And so we took a meeting and he's like, hey, bro. So I was like, hey, bro, hey, do you mind? I need a place to stay for a little bit. And I didn't think it was weird at all because everybody in LA kind of sleeps on everyone's couch for the first 5 years. Mm-hmm. It's just what it is. It ain't expensive. It's like one of the most populated places. So with that being said, he moved in, slept on my couch. And then one of my roommates, I was the leaseholder. They ended up moving out. He moved in and said, hey, can another one of my buddies move in? I said, yeah, because we need to fill this place up so we can pay for it. Very expensive. And this was the grace of God in my life. He was sober. He never drank or did alcohol or drug, cigarette, not one in his life, not one. And his buddy that he brought in was also sober, but he was an extremely talented human being. Like, he is such a great actor, such a good person, but he was dealing with his demons. But he was on his like 1 year sobriety at that point with his medallions and stuff. So we would be like reading together, acting together, you know, taking professional shots and putting that together into a package. So that's what really helped me to get to that innermost cave to deal with my ordeal, which was my vices in life. And then boom, I started getting back in, going to church consistently in my life. And not only just going to church, but then serving in church and then being a part of church as a community leader, teaching the Sunday schools. And then that was my reward. You know, some people have the reward in the very beginning to serve something higher. Mine was power, money, and fame. That's what it was originally. But as soon as I moved forward and I was working towards that cave and, you know, that journey, that testing journey,
yeah,
that's when I was like, you know, my reward is to get to heaven and take as many people with me as possible, get to the Creator and to bring as many people as possible. And that made me to go my way back home where I was like, you know, I don't care to be a part of anyone's campaign or commercial or show or television or theater anymore, even though I will, because that's what I absolutely love to do inside and out. But right now, what I need to do is create my own content. Produce educational, inspiring, and entertaining content that's going to help move the world and, above all, create more heroes in the world and remind them of who they are and what they did matters, because they matter. And that's what makes them the hero, is by making the next good choice after the next. And that's what's kept me towards my resurrection. So when anybody points, you know, something at me, I already know as a leader I'm going to get hit. But now I have that Jedi, pew, 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 it's morphin' time. And I just put that helmet on and I get out there. So as I return home with the Elixir, and we created the Superhero U, and we have multiple different series in development right now. I just couldn't be more thrilled. And man, I'm going to say it, but I believe God is great. And without these trials and tribulations and these battles, then I could not be battle tested. I would not be the person that I need to be right now. And especially come from this point of view, my point of view of the world is completely changed. The point of view of myself is completely changed. The entertainment industry is completely changed. And I'm just so, so happy to be here with you, Steven, and hope both of our audiences or our audience got at least one thing out of this. We got to close, guys. But my name is Andrew Gray. My co-host name is
Steven Turley.
And we just shared our hero's journey with you. So if you guys can relate in any way, shape, or form, go ahead and follow us. Also, check out Uncle Dad Talks podcast, okay? Because they are producing this. They have put so much love into this, and we couldn't be more grateful. Go ahead and check us out on IG at The Superhero U. We're going to have our website very, very soon. Together as one. Steven?
Let's fly.
See you guys later. Another level. Another level.